The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Indeed, not your daddy's computer radio show. However, we are the place to talk about technology and somehow mix in wishing your daddy a happy daddy's day, at least for tomorrow.
It is that time of year again, isn't it?
It is. Happy Father's Day to you.
To you as well, Brandon.
Pete, to you. Tons of kids. None that you know of. Brian has two that he knows of.
Two and only two.
I'm sure there's
more
out there.
Let's change this up.
Well, hey, Pete, happy Father's Day anyway. To the future of, of your spawn.
Good Lord. It's already started off fun.
It is the Computer Corner. We've been here for now 30 seconds today. But just over a decade of bringing you cutting edge.
Oh, yes.
Technology. Well, we talk about technology. We talk about computers. We talk about things in your life that either frustrate you. And hopefully we're there to help cure the frustration and turn it into something less than frustration.
And hopefully it's not the show.
Yes, or we talk about things that bring joy to your lives via technology. And today is no different. Today is a day we're going to talk about the latest of the browser wars. And if you're unfamiliar with what browsers are, we're going to tell you about what those are. And if you know all about browsers, and yeah, we've been down this path before, and well, maybe you're going to learn something new today, because each of the major two big players in the world of browsers, it'll be Internet Explorer and Firefox, yeah, they both have new versions that are in beta form right now, that are out that have all kinds of new features and functions, and so we'll talk about some of those things. Of course, we invite you to call in and talk not only about your favorite browser, or your favorite plugin for your favorite browser, or if you don't know what a browser is, you can ask. You can also give us a call with whatever your computer questions, ailments, and other issues.
Come on, you know the number one topic of what this week's going to be.
What's the number one topic?
We're going to go and everybody's going to call about the iPhone.
The iPhone?
Of course.
Do you think people care about the iPhone?
Oh, I do, and I don't even use it.
Well, maybe we'll talk about the iPhone a little bit. Maybe we'll talk about ways you can use technology to save gas. Maybe, we will talk about whatever. Give us a call, 602-277-5827. It's 277-5827. KTAR. Of course, you can join us online anytime, datadoctors.com/radio, and you'll see our topic, the latest in the browser wars. You'll see links to things that are topical. You'll also see the ability to go back in time for several years and see and listen to past shows. You'll see our Geek Speak of the Week, and most importantly, links for you to ask questions, give us comments, and post in our blog, all there under the feedback section. Those things do come to us here in the studio. We do read each and every one of them, and we talk about the ones that look like they are A, coherent, which is a good thing.
That is helpful.
That is helpful. B, if they're on topic, absolutely. And C, if we think that us talking about them can benefit others, then we definitely talk about those. For the ones that are really kind of obscure, strange, questions that we could talk about but wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to anybody, we answer those through email instead. So either way, we do check those out. We do talk about them. datadoctors.com/radio, or if you're not slash inclined, just datadoctors.com. Click where it says radio show, and you'll be at the same place. And
I can't ever figure out what's forward and backward slash.
It does. You know what? On the internet,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, depending on the browser.
See, this is ridiculous.
In most cases, the big couple of browsers, doesn't matter. It'll take them either way, and it'll switch them to the one that needs to be. And so you can't go too wrong there.
Mm.
Generally speaking, when somebody says slash, they do mean forward slash.
Mm-hmm.
If they say backslash, then they mean the other. And for those keeping score, forward slash is the slash that's generally on the keyboard with the question mark.
Yeah, there we go.
So without pushing shift, that same key that has the question mark on it, that is the forward slash. The other is the backslash. Right?
Everybody's completely bored and lost now, but that's good.
They're bored. No, they're not bored and lost. If you're bored and lost, 602-277-5827, you let Brian know.
Yeah, the phones are lit up. Let me know how bored you are.
Actually, that probably wouldn't do you a lot of good. You'd probably be better off to give us a call with whatever your issues are.
We just lost you. Never mind. I'm leaving.
Yeah. See? That means no. When they hang up, the lights themselves tell us everything we need to know.
They thought we were going to talk about the iPhone. They got excited and then hung up.
Well, we're going to talk about the
iPhone. Oh, that's right. We are.
See, for those that don't know, Apple made a big announcement, or at least a medium announcement this week, concerning the iPhone and how it may or may not impact you in your life. I think the iPhone, whether or not you actually own one, already has impacted you. If you look at commercials from cell phone carrier X, Y, or Z these days, actually Z and Y are now the same company,
yeah,
I think.
They're all the one.
But if you notice, everybody's phone, whether or not it's the Apple's phone, is starting to look a lot like that iPhone.
Yeah.
So it's already influenced your lives, even if you don't own one. And it continues to do so. I think some of the technology, just the things that they've developed with the uniqueness of the touch and the motion and things like that.
Well,
that,
the browsing capability on the internet. Just some of the most ridiculous things. One of our minions at one of our stores actually.
Did you just say that?
Oh, completely, because the guy will appreciate it, actually. But anyway, he actually made a very astute comment to me that, you know, a company that had never actually manufactured or wasn't in the cell phone game came out and made such a stir that now, I mean, they own, it's a gigantic percentage of market share after one release.
Yeah, their first phone ever on the block.
Yeah, and they come out and they just spank everybody in the competition. It's pretty cool. I mean, I really respect their ingenuity and their innovation because that's really what they are.
Yeah, definitely. So, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the browsers, whether you use Internet Explorer or Opera or Firefox, or
Netscape. Are they still around?
Yeah, they're around, but does anybody use that?
I didn't.
And some people will say, well, I don't use any of those. I use AOL.
There you go.
That's fine, too. We'll talk about that. I guess we can classify that as a browser sort of.
I would call that more of a cancer. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I don't know if it's a cancer.
It spreads.
You're paying a lot to most people that these days that I talk to that have AOL.
Yeah.
They're paying AOL plus they're paying their internet provider for access because they want high speed.
Yeah. Well, and what you'll find is most of those users are legacy users that got hooked on the experience AOL or MSN provided to them. So it was a very simple, you know, easy way to navigate, not really learning how to use a true browser. And so now they just continue to pay for it because, well, they like that experience. It's familiar to them, and why bother changing, even if you pay twice as much?
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
By the way, out in Radio Land, one of the data doctors, he's a brand new father.
Oh,
and if Paul Schmitz
twin silos.
Yeah. Well, he's Paul Schmitz is hails from the Twin Cities.
That's right.
Up in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's one of the data doctor's family, and he just brought a pair of twins, or at least his wife brought, and he just watched
along for the ride.
Yeah, he watched those twins come into the world. So happy first Father's Day if you're listening there, Schmitzy.
Yeah, definitely.
And to everybody else out there that's a dad, I don't know.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
You bet.
Should we check in with Bruce Gary in the KTR Traffic Center, find out what's happening on the roadways when it comes to traffic and weather, Bruce? Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's war again.
It's astounded Brandon. That's what
it is. Astounded Brandon. Well, I'm looking through stuff and looking at some of the comparisons of some of the browsers, and I'm remiss in mentioning Safari, which most of you are going, huh, I never heard of it. It's a browser that originally started on the Mac platform.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so hot. Mm-hmm. And apparently, they've recently released a Windows version. I never gave it a second thought because I tried it on the Mac once and went, ugh.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's getting lots of pretty rave reviews, and so it's something out there to consider. Maybe I'll have to do a little research and
come back next week and give us an update.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I think I'm going to have to try it in the Mac then as well. Hopefully, they've released a new version because there's times where Firefox actually gets a little quirky in Mac.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to have a secondary browser that was somewhat intuitive.
You know, there's a couple of guys. I know a couple of Mac guys, and in fact, maybe we ought to get one of our Mac guys from Mac Media on in the next couple of weeks to talk about some of the new things from Apple.
I'll have
to bug Lewis and see if we can track him down. I know I talked to him the other day. I think he's going to be in Atlanta next weekend. But after that, maybe we'll get him down here to talk about not only the Safari, but some of the new, the Mac Air, what's happening with that, and the iPhone. I mean, all those things. He's a Mac nut. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I definitely would be I would be here for that, because that's something that I love as well. So.
Yeah, maybe we'll make it a big Mac, Return of the Mac.
Yeah, well, and
we'll
they're
play the song
bringing
and
it on strong, that's for sure.
You know, Art in, maybe if I can find Art. Art.
Sorry, whoever that was.
There's Art.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're doing pretty fine and dandy. You've got some insight on the Safari, and maybe you can enlighten us.
Well, not necessarily an insight. I was just calling to maybe see. I got a MacBook, and I was just curious maybe if you guys would know what browser would be better to run off there, because I know they have Firefox for Apple's operating system, you know, and I just didn't know, you know, maybe thought you guys would give a little bit of advice on which one to run on there, you know.
Yeah, in your browser world, or excuse me, in your operating system world, Safari is what comes on the Mac.
Right.
Correct.
The latest, greatest stuff apparently is getting some pretty good reviews out there. So I might be intrigued to at least try that out. Of course, Firefox, fairly tried and true, rock solid, definitely available out there. Internet Explorer used to be an option, although I think they stopped making that back at Internet Explorer version 4.
It still exists. It's actually, a 5.1, but the thing doesn't work any longer, because I've got a MacBook Pro as well, and so
you want to skip
that. You don't want to use it, yeah.
And then I believe Opera has a version out there for Mac as well. Those are kind of the big four, but I would stay away from Internet Explorer. If it was me, just knowing, based on track record and history alone, on my Mac, I run Firefox.
Yeah,
but I'm fairly intrigued to check out the new Safari. I don't know.
Yeah, I will be doing that.
Let me ask you guys this. On that MacBook of mine, I bought it just from, I think it was like Best Buy or something like that. And I bought it with Tiger on there, the operating system Tiger.
You bet.
Am I entitled to a free upgrade to Leopard?
No, you are not.
No? Okay.
But
okay.
I will tell you, purchasing the operating system from Mac or whatever vendor, but the new Jaguar or Leopard, I should say, operating system.
Some kind.
It's $99 for a single user device, and
it's definitely worth it.
For $99, it's a no brainer. They've worked out most of the bugs, and for $129, if you have multiple Macs, you get three licenses of the operating system.
Okay. So that's probably something I should do. It's probably better, right, to get the actual copy versus just downloading it, right?
Oh, good Lord, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. Plus, if you ever need to reinstall, having that disk is just real handy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I believe you can actually do a simple upgrade from the retail version.
Oh, okay.
However, you might want to know that they are working on a beta right now for Snow Leopard, which is the next version.
Oh, okay. They're constantly upgrading.
Always.
It's like their
service pack.
Microsoft does the same thing, and the only thing I can say about the Apples and their new versions is I can't remember the last time that they had major problems from version to version, whereas with Windows, it seems like if you're one of the early adopters, you get a little bit of pain.
Uh-huh.
And so we generally recommend when people, looking at Windows, we told people when Vista was coming out, you might want to hold off a little. And and here we are a year later still saying, you might want to hold off.
Yeah.
And, with the Mac stuff, that doesn't generally tend to happen. So their track record in that area seems to be much better.
Yep.
One of the issues, obviously, is that they control the hardware, the operating system, everything. And so it's much easier for them to be able to make sure that there aren't as many issues. Because there's just not as many possibilities and combinations. So,
Not only that, they give the ability for open adaptation of their stuff and applications to be written for it. So you have a whole lot of minds working on it, and they seem to use that to their advantage.
So, Art, here is your homework now.
Okay.
Because you called, because you're talking about the browsers. You're going to go out there now. You're going to check out. You're going to play with Safari, and I would encourage you to update it to the latest greatest. Go get yourself that Firefox, and then after you had time to play with both, live with them both a little bit, you owe us a call back to tell us what your experience is and what your recommendation is.
Yeah, give us a review.
Definitely. Hey, let me ask you guys this. Are you guys, because I just popped on, I usually, every now and then I'll listen to 92.3. Are you guys just on Saturdays?
Saturdays every weekend for about a decade from noon to 2, so you make sure you find us here each week.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you fellas have a good day.
You as well.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic. Someone with an assignment. Nice job, Brandon.
Look at that. And we and a new listener.
I know.
Wow. I think
he was occasional.
Now he had to find out when we're on because I gave him an assignment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't have a choice now.
No. You're reeling him in.
It's the Computer Corner. Brian Ellison, Brandon Disney, here for another full hour and a half. So stick around. We got a line open for you at 602-277-5827. Stick around after the news. We'll be back with more of your calls and questions. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about accessing the internet. We're talking about browsers and the differences, the comparisons, the sort of some of the must-have plugins and add-ons. I'm a generally a Firefox kind of guy.
Yeah, you are, aren't you?
Yeah, and one of my favorite little plugins that not a lot of people know about. It's a little thing called Bug Me Not.
Yeah,
so
you've
been to, let's say, some website. A lot of newspapers do this. You go to a website, you start reading an article at this newspaper's website, and then there's a little link to click to read the rest. And when you click it, it wants you to sign in. And, of course, they want you to give their name and phone number, blah, blah, blah. And then they send you an email that then allows you to then access the site, right? You've been to these sites before.
Yes.
Now you have to give them a real email address. And
completely lame.
And it takes time, and it's... Sometimes you don't necessarily want to give people your email address, so you end up having two or three, and you have your junk one, and right? Well, this is all a big time-consuming thing. If you install Bug Me Not as a plugin in Firefox, you can right-click on the username password field. You go to the place, instead of registering, you go to the place like you already have an account, you're going to log in.
Right.
You right-click in the field and say, log in with Bug Me Not. It goes to a database of known good working usernames and passwords for
awesome.
That site.
Yeah.
And it fills in the blanks and hits the submit button for you, logs you in.
I like that a lot.
So... It's a way to beat those sites at their own game. Now, obviously, sites that need information like you're going to make a purchase, this isn't going to work, things like that. But for sites that just have that kind of sort of, we need to know who you are and send you this magical link and all those things, it's kind of a nice little add-on to have called Bug Me Not. So one of my favorite plugins. And, of course, if you have a favorite plugin or 20, you're welcome to give us a call, 602-277-5827. Let's get back to the phones up. Next, it's Alex on KTAR. Alex, welcome to the Computer Corner.
How are you guys doing today?
Excellent. What can we do for you, sir?
Well, I just want to give you a little feedback. I've been using, I use all different browsers all the time, and I've been using Safari for Windows for about a month and a half now. And I heard you guys talking about that. You didn't have a whole lot of feedback on it. So the only thing I've noticed is I stream KTAR at work all day long, and any length of streaming for any amount of time, Safari does choke on that.
Hmm. Chokes on streaming, huh?
Yeah, that's the only thing I've seen so far that's kind of annoying. So I just go back to Firefox when that happens.
Gotcha. So I'll have to check that out then. Now I know what to look out for, because I'm going to try out Safari next week. I'm going to try to live with it for a week and see what I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. It has a nice feature with the snapback. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was just looking at their site and saw the snapback, and I think I've got to live it to understand exactly what it does. I get the idea of what they're talking about, where you don't just hit the back button to go back to the previous, but you can go back to a point in time 3 or 4 clicks ago, maybe, or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. But, just overall, if your listeners want to miss Ann Carlo in the morning, tell them, to definitely use Safari.
That's not right.
I'm not sure what that reference is to, but I don't think we want to explain that.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Well, thanks very much. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for the call, Alex.
All right.
Why would anybody want to miss Ann Carlo?
Hey, why would you want to miss anything on KTAR?
That's for sure.
There's the company line right there being towed, right?
I am kind of serious about the Ann Carlo thing, though.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like listening to him. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. To each his own. I don't know. I don't think I've listened to the guy, so I don't know.
No?
No, I
drive more than you during work.
No, so. You know what? I listen to music and stuff in the morning. I don't know why talk's not my thing in the morning. Well, it is in the afternoons for some reason, but
Yeah,
it's just me.
Yeah, he's on at, 8:30 to noon, I think.
Yeah, I know he's in the morning drive sometimes, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Just not my time for listening to that. I don't know.
All right.
Let's jump back in the phones, and I might butcher this name, and if I do, I apologize in advance. Sedina?
Correct.
Hey, look at that.
Nice job.
Gosh, now you're one for one. Let's see if we can go 2 for 2.
Well, you throw out your question.
Push it,
and this is where everything falls down. How can we help?
the less hope you can. I have a PC. It is using Windows XP.
Oh, we're done now. I can't help.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'll call Romy on the house. And I'm having issues with very slowness. I have already, I switched an antivirus, got an AVG free 8.0, ran it to make sure that it wasn't a virus that McAfee wasn't picking up. Still didn't pick up anything. I have done my check disk. I have done defrag. Still running slow, and now I'm even getting to the point to where I go to log off. It is telling me that Windows Internet Explorer cannot shut down properly.
Right. So it's running really slow. You've done a bunch of scans, and you're trying to figure out, why is this dang thing just so slow?
Correct.
Hey, so are you in front of the machine at all?
I am.
We're going to try a live, cool little experiment here.
Oh, boy.
Blood pressure test.
The machine is on, and you're logged into Windows. You can see your desktop, right?
Correct.
Okay. If you hold down both the Control and Alt keys on your keyboard and hit the Delete one time,
uh-huh.
We call that the three-fingered salute.
Uh-huh. I'm in Task Manager right now.
Perfect.
Actually.
Task Manager. Click to the Processes tab.
That was going to be my next question. Why do I have 47 processes running?
Hey, and check the little box at the very bottom left that says Show All Processes from All Users or whatever it says there.
It's already checked.
Cool. 47 processes.
Uh-huh.
That's not terrible,
right.
But that's certainly quite a bit higher than it would need to be from a sort of minimalist standpoint. And so to understand those processes, each one of those is a running program or part of a program. And the sort of bare minimum, and some people will call and argue and say, no, there's less than that.
Right.
Really, in the mid-20s is about the slimmest you can get and still have a fairly functional PC.
Which is very difficult to get there.
Yes. But certainly not very difficult to get into the mid-30s and high-30s.
Yeah.
When for example, we service machines all over the country, and when people come into our shops, oftentimes, and most often, they're leaving by the time we're done with them with their machine somewhere in the mid-30s, unless they have a bunch of things, like they have a PDA that they regularly sync.
Right.
Some of those one-touch scanners and...
Well, it depends on the manufacturer of the PC as well.
Yeah, some of them, notebooks always have a few more, but generally we're in the 30s. And when you're up to 47, there's potentially maybe 20 to at most to maybe 15, maybe 10 programs that don't need to be running all the time.
Okay.
So that's the easy part of the answer. The tough part is, well, which ones stay and which ones go?
There we go.
Yeah, and that's where there are so many different pieces of software and hardware combinations out there that I can't blindly just tell you, well, you could get rid of this, this, and this. What I can tell you is if you go into a good place to start would be to go into your control panel,
mm-hmm.
then go to the Add Remove Program section, let that thing load up and show you everything you got installed. If you start looking at some of those things, anything that's sort of what I would call a little gimmick that you can get rid of is a good thing. So gimmicks to me are anything that's going to insert little smiley faces every time you write an email for you automatically. The little thing in the lower right-hand corner that tells you what the weather is and tells you that it's sunny outside the window that you're looking out see that it's sunny out.
Desktops or toolbars?
I don't use any of those.
Anything that automatically puts the pictures of Fluffy and the kids up on the desktop and and changes those out on a regular basis. All these little things, there's generally ways to accomplish most all of them without a bunch of garbageware. And that kind of stuff oftentimes will be responsible for three or four processes each. So the more of those kinds of things you can get rid of, the better. Now, beyond that, then, some people go out and try to buy tools to try to speed up their machine, which generally not only don't speed up your machine, but they oftentimes add more processes, thereby slowing them down. It takes sort of a trained eye to go through and figure out what can go. And even if we could tell you, okay, here are the five things in your machine that can go, then the next question becomes, well, then how do I get rid of those? Because add remove programs may or may not actually get rid of some of those things. So some of it involves getting into what's called the startup folder, which is an easy place to go to get rid of things. So you could just click on start and then all programs.
Correct.
And startup. And anything that's listed in there, it's fairly safe to say that anything that's listed in there can go and it won't impact the usage of the machine. Now, that being said, there may be a program or two that starts up that you desire to start up. It wouldn't make the computer non-functional, but it might make something like I have something at my office that automatically synchronizes the email on my phone with my Outlook, and if it's not in my startup group, then that doesn't happen. My computer still functions fine, but that's an example, right?
Right.
So that's kind of the easy place to remove things from. The next level of things is getting into what's called the registry, which gets to be a fairly complicated thing. And there's people out there probably right now listening saying, well, there's this tool called msconfig, and you can just uncheck boxes. Yeah, there is a little tool, but it's meant to be a diagnostic tool. And it's meant to temporarily disable things to test whether it affects the performance of the system or changes the way things work. It was never designed as a tool to fix the computer or remove those programs and processes. So long term, I would never recommend somebody leave that in that diagnostic mode with things unchecked. You need to go back to the source and the root of things and remove things properly.
And then there's also, you know, the age of the unit and how much RAM it has in there. That's another thing to look at. I mean, if the computer's 3 or 4 years old and you only have 256 running XP, part of the problem.
Do you know how much memory you have in that thing, Sadia?
No, not right off the top of my head. And it's basically used for a glorified typewriter. I mean, we have email, we have spreadsheets, Word, and pictures. So,
right.
You know, the only thing that I have running that's in the startup is, of course, the Southwest Ding, because I like to fly.
Right.
But that's it. The rest of it, it's all generic. I have no bells and whistles attached to it.
Right.
And it just started here after I let somebody else gave them access to the computer to use email. And, of course, he opens everything that he gets. And that's why I was afraid it was a virus.
Well, another thing to check, beyond viruses, antivirus software just checks for really nasty stuff, but there's sort of a what we would call medium nasty stuff. You might want to check out at our website, datadoctors.com, go to the free help section and then click where it says approved software at the top there. Down in all that, we separate things into about 6-7 categories. One is stuff that helps with spyware and adware. You might want to do a couple of scans with some of the free tools we have listed there that will also remove spyware or adware threats. There could be a few things in there that are taking away from performance that aren't necessarily viruses, but that still can be gotten rid of.
Okay. Now, I did run the, X-Off spyware.
Never heard of it, and
okay.
That scares me a little.
All right. It came from PCTechSupport.com. These are the 12 steps you should do for slow.
Yeah, no, the stuff that we have in our approved software list, almost all of it's free, a few things low cost. It does us no good from a financial standpoint to recommend those things. Those are things that we recommend because they're A, easy to use, and B, effective. And the fact that I've never heard of what you are telling me doesn't mean necessarily it's bad, but there's only a few products out there that I would use that I'd recommend if I was telling my brother or my mom to use, and that's definitely not one of them.
Okay. Perfect.
So check that stuff out, and if all else fails, you give us a call back next week, and we'll try some more things.
Okay. One other thing to let you know, I know that you techies know this thing, but apparently when a hard disk does crash, there are times where you cannot get information off of it.
That is true.
If you put it in the freezer, it does work.
It does not work.
Yes, it does, sir, because mine was recovered. I took it to a data doctor here locally. They said, we can't recover. I paid $1,200. I took it to a friend who said that her boyfriend was doing all of this stuff, and he actually put it in the freezer. It took him 3 days, but he recovered every single file for
really?
Me. Honestly.
You know what I would love to do? I would love to pop you on hold. I want to look more into this because that would be, wow.
A first.
I'm going to put Sadina right there on hold. We got to take another check of traffic and weather. And again, it's Bruce Gary in the KTR Traffic Center to give us the latest. Bruce. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's hot outside.
Just a little.
Yeah, I just got finished up on the phone with Sadina from our last segment, and it turns out that the place she took it is a company that's no longer in business.
Huh. Shocking.
That was that had a shop that was just down the street from one of ours. It was PC Club. And
they were so good.
When she said something about that she was charged a bunch of money, but they didn't get anything. That's not us.
Yeah.
We don't charge a bunch of money if we don't get something.
Yeah.
So
you only pay if we provide information.
Right. So I was a little confused there, but what I hope to take away from that is that if you find yourself in need of getting data back, long before you consider putting something in a Ziploc bag and putting it in a refrigerator or freezer, if the data is really important to you, I would advise against doing that. I can tell you that we see people come in very often that have tried various things before they bring it to us. Some of them have opened the drive, which is a really bad idea as well. Those drives are sealed up and sealed up inside of a clean room for a reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So opening them, touching them if you do open them, putting them in freezers, even if you put them in Ziploc bags, there's condensation that's inside that bag with the thing. All these things are bad ideas. We just had one in fact, this week, that somebody had put into a freezer or refrigerator overnight before they brought it in. And so, I mean, obviously, if it had worked, they wouldn't have brought it in. They brought it in, and there was so much damage from condensation and moisture. And talking to the user, it wasn't like this thing was in a flood or even had gotten wet, to their knowledge. It just, in its travels from wherever they shipped it from to us, the water damage and some of the corrosion and things had already started to take place. And, you know, the guys were able to take the drive apart and go through some processes and get the stuff, but... Wow. Yeah, don't... If it's your last-ditch effort and it's just give it a shot, hey, why not?
Yeah, right? What do you have to lose?
But I don't know that I would try that as a first, second, or third step if you're real serious about getting your stuff.
Yeah, if you actually want it back.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are... The show we're talking about today, browsers and some of the various things out there, and a lot of people are saying, well, you know, this is not that important of a topic. What do I care about browsers? I would... argue, and I think a lot of statistics out there would back up the argument, that the web browser is the most widely used application on the planet now.
Yes, I definitely would agree with that.
People going to websites, doing research, checking their webmail, anything you do online, other than email and instant messaging and things, for the most part, you do in a browser. And I think we all, everybody I know and most everybody you know, they use a web browser pretty much every day. And for a decent portion of every day. In fact, many applications these days, people run their businesses on web-based applications.
You bet.
Google has a whole host of them out there, other companies as well. So I think it's a fairly important topic. There's been lots and lots of developments recently. There's new versions of stuff coming out. And for guys who have to sort of deal with the other end of the browser, meaning the websites behind what you are searching and surfing, some of the good news is that things are getting more and more compatible and more alike every day. So
it's true.
There's a lot that's good for the consumer out there, and having choices is great for the consumer. When we come back from the other side of the news, we're going to talk more about browsers, some of your favorites, some of the things that help you get more productive or that just help maybe pass the time if you're out just cruising. And, of course, you, Joe, and Scott that are on hold, we're going to get you right after the break. We got lines open, 602-277-5877. 27, it's 277-KTAR, or visit us online at datadoctors.com/radio. It's Brian and Brandon. We're the Data Doctors in the house for another full hour. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. Brian Ellison, Brandon Disney. We got another hour to go. Let's talk to you about technology, computers, how Father's Day plays a role in that, or if it does. To talk about browsers and some of the cool things. You have a... are you an Internet Explorer guy? Are you an Opera guy? What's your browser of choice?
When I'm actually in the Windows environment, I do use IE, and when I'm on my Mac, I use the Firefox.
So why haven't you done the Fox on the Windows box?
Because I really do prefer IE.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
When they actually pulled their when they actually put the tabs into their browser.
So tab browsing is your big
it's
thing.
It's plenty for me. It's enough. I mean, it's what I do. It's what I know. It's what I use. I don't use a lot of the add-ons even in Firefox. In Mac world, I just don't use it. Like the Bug Me Not, I'll probably check that out. But other than that, I just don't.
If you're on Firefox, there's a couple other plugins that I think are kind of, for me, they're kind of must-haves.
Delicious.
If you like tab browsing and you want to take tab browsing and get more control over what you can do and really take it to the next level, there's something called Tab Mix Plus.
Hmm.
definitely a killer little add-on. It lets you just take what you can do with tabs and enhances it quite a bit. So I think that's a sort of a must-have. If you were doing anything at all with any kind of web development and being able to tear apart pages and things, there's some web developer tools that really make life really good.
Right. And most of that stuff, when I'm on my Mac specifically, I have more issues with the Firefox because of what I'm doing. It's not the Firefox that's the issue. It's the websites that I deal with, specifically my web applications, that don't like Firefox. Even just pulling down like Word documents from a web app,
right?
Man, the thing just hates it.
Jokes, huh?
Oh, I have to literally save that app, that document, to then open it through Word. Otherwise, it won't open like IE. It just opens as a preview or a PDF style in the browser.
Right.
It will not. It goes,
yuck.
I hate you. No.
All right. Well, maybe you're going to be a fan of the new Safari. Apparently,
I'm gonna try it.
It's getting some pretty big reviews. And yes, they now have a Windows version as well. So yet another one for you to try out and taste, feel, touch, and smell.
If they've improved it for the Mac, I'll definitely give it as a secondary and maybe for the Windows.
That's what everybody's saying. In fact, people are saying that it significantly outperforms the other browsers from a sort of speed of rendering down standpoint.
Yeah.
In the old days, rendering speed was not a big issue because the internet connection you had was so slow.
It
didn't matter. Today, with pretty fast internet speeds that we see out there, I think if you're on the Cox system now, it's like up to 12 megabits
16,
down.
16, I think.
16?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Every 5 minutes, it improves. And
right.
With that, we're starting to see now that your download speeds are actually fast enough that your computer can't keep up.
Right.
And of course, you can load it up with processor and memory and things, but at some point, you end up with what they call render time, which is the time it takes for the browser to interpret what it's downloading and then display it. That rendering time is now one of the things that's lagging. And apparently Safari is one of the best when it comes to rendering, at least according to some of the reviews out there. So
I know one of the engineers has been making a lot of talk with me lately about having an initiative to start talking about router replacement, because they've noticed that the routers, even the first series Gs for most of the manufacturers, aren't able to capture the speed that they're actually maintaining or obtaining from Cox.
Yeah, it was funny. I can remember, it wasn't that long ago, Ken and I would get people calling about, you know, I'm thinking about upgrading my wireless router to this faster one because I want faster internet, and we used to laugh at them and say, look,
yeah,
the speed of your wireless router is significantly faster than your download speeds, so don't waste your time, don't waste your money. You're not going to accomplish a whole lot. And what's funny is that's come full circle now.
Yeah, even though technically the router's supposed to be faster at 54G, I mean, it's ridiculous, or megabytes, you don't ever obtain that. However, what this one engineer, Paul, he's been telling me every single day that he's seeing and testing bandwidth speeds where he's getting half the bandwidth with the older versions than with the newer. So it's actually limiting the browsing speed that you can obtain, which is pretty funny because, yeah, it never used to be. You just laugh, okay, yeah, sure, replace it. It won't do anything. Now it seems to be some validity to it.
So maybe we'll have to have him. And if I know him, he's
he'll write you a letter.
He's Mr. Thorough.
Oh, yeah.
So we could probably get him to give us sort of the from the field. Here's the stuff on his hit list that he consistently sees problems with. Here's the stuff on the good list that he consistently sees perform really well.
Yeah. And he is when you want just straight skinny, he is the man to talk to. I absolutely respect and love that about him.
I wonder if we could get him in here. If we could, and B, if that would be good.
Or if he'd will. Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to drag him in here kicking and screaming.
We could trick him.
Yeah, that would probably be the best bet, unless he's listening.
No, Paul, come on.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a life, does he?
No, I'm not going to go there.
Come on.
He has a life, a very busy one, but, you know.
We got lines open at 602-277-5827 if you want to get on the debate of the browsers, or just talk about whatever your technology fun is. And in just a bit here, we're going to talk a little bit about the new iPhone release. And then, coming up in the show, our Geek Speak of the Week, Head Whack of the Week, those will be coming up in a segment or two. But before those things, let's jump back on the phones.
We have phones?
We do have phone callers.
All right. No, I know we had callers. I just didn't know we had a phone to use.
Yeah, we got phones to use. We got all kinds of good stuff. It's Steve, who's got comments on opera, and I don't think you mean the fat lady that's singing.
No, unless we're talking about Joe Arpaio.
Ooh.
Fat lady?
Wow.
Really? I think that's...
You like him, don't you?
Well.
Okay, so.
Anyway, yeah, opera just came out with 9.5 this week, and it's more than twice as fast as the last opera.
All right. Monitoring. Is that some people would say that's a great thing. Some people would say, well, the last one was so bad that twice as fast is two times nothing is nothing.
Last one wasn't bad to me, but they've got built-in development tools now.
Right. I can tell you where Opera really excels, in my opinion, is on mobile platforms, meaning
if you've got a handheld. 27 million cell phones.
Yeah. So if you've got a smartphone, whether it's Windows-based or Palm-based, Opera Mini that runs in a sort of Java environment, it is probably the best browser, and maybe... We might not be saying that when it comes to the iPhone, but with non-Apple devices, it's probably the best browser out there.
And now there's Opera Sync, which it'll let you sync all your bookmarks and contacts between your cell phone and your browser.
Hmm.
And that's built in also.
Hmm. I see Brian.
There's a whole list of new built-ins on Opera.
Brian is seriously going to download Opera Mini now.
Because IE on the phone stinks.
Yeah, not so good.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, is that all you had to chime in with there, Steve? Or do you have questions or issues we can help with?
Well, I just know that they're always coming with something new. One thing that bothers me about Firefox is the tabs are where you start up with them. With Opera, you can put them on the left, right, bottom. You can drag a tab, put the tab wherever you want it. In group tabs, you can link tabs, have it open a new tab linked to your original page. You can have multiple tabs, so you click on your links in one page, and it changes the pages on the other tab.
Hey, Steve, you remind me of Bubba from Forrest Gump, where you're talking about all the different kinds of shrimp. We got link tabs, we got group tabs, we got this kind of tab.
That makes me want to go watch the movie again, though. That's good.
Hey, Steve, thanks for the call. We appreciate you chiming in on that.
Definitely.
Right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Man, you just cut the guy right to the quick, Brandon.
Hey, no, that was a compliment. That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
And I liked Bubba.
I don't think he took it that way.
Speaking of liking Bubba, we got Bubba Gary or Bruce Gary out there, actually, in the KTR Traffic Center. He's going to tell us about where to find shrimp on the freeways. You want to know about the pros and cons of LifeLock? You've heard the guy that gives
completely out
his name and social security number.
Yep.
You want to know why there's so much trial wear on a PC when you buy it these days? What about Internet Explorer 8 to feature web slices and activities or mastering end-user security? These are just some of the things you'll find in this week's newsletter. If you want to be a subscriber, it's simple.
It is.
We made it a hop, skip, and half a jump because we wanted to trim that a little bit. Datadoctors.com, look for the box to put in your email address and hit the subscribe button. And it just walks you through it from there. It's so easy.
Your pauses are killing me.
Why? They're good pauses. I talk so fast that I have to pause.
That's one of those.
Let things process a little.
Oh.
I think I got some motor mouth, bro.
Yeah, you need to remember to breathe occasionally.
Why? There'll be time for that when I'm dead, right?
Awesome.
You do all the breathing for us.
Yeah, I do. I breathe in the mic. I've been told that.
I've heard that a few times.
Yeah.
Should we... There's a couple of Scots, and one of them has been on hold for an awful long time. He gave us a call, 602-277-5827. That's the number. Scott dialed. Scott.
Hello.
How can we help you?
Oh, hi. Yeah. My computer's been, clicking whenever I've been using it for a while. It'll just click, then 3 or 4 seconds later, it'll freeze up.
Clicking and freezing?
Yeah, that's a
bad it'll, click,
sign.
And then it'll freeze.
Okay.
How long has that been happening?
Probably for about a month now.
Oh, man.
So the first thing that comes to mind when there's clicking followed by freezing, and it's not cold out, it must be 110 today. Actually, it says it's 111 right now. We broke that record. All right. The clicking, if I had to take a wild stab in the dark, I would guess it to be, or guess it likely to be, your hard drive.
And I hope it's not.
And a clicking sound from a hard drive is never, ever a good thing. And if it's accompanied by freezing, that's not a good thing. Let me ask you a maybe painful question. Do you back up stuff that's important to you?
We've never backed up this computer downstairs.
Okay, so first thing to start doing as soon as we hang up on the phone here is start backing up. And that goes for anybody listening, but anything that's important to you, if you can back it up. Because if it is, as we suspect, the hard drive... dying, Anything you can get before that happens is going to save you a lot of pain.
That's my second thing. We can't even get the computer to turn on now.
And it'll stop trying.
Well, then if it's gotten that bad, then the more you try at this point before you figure out what the next step are, the worse things get.
Yeah, because it says like the volume is dirty, then it runs through all these things.
Those blue screens where it's trying to run ScanDisk and fix things, that oftentimes is going to cause more damage than good. In fact, almost every case it will. At this point, you've got to turn everything off, unplug it, and before you make your before you make your next move, you've got to decide something here, which is, are there things on that machine that are valuable and not replaceable? Because if there are, if there's things you really want to seek out some professional advice and some professional data recovery services, trying to let that thing continue to click and lock up and things is going to only make things worse. And so if there are things of value that you care about that are irreplaceable, then you may have to go down that path. And I can tell you it's a path that very few people on this part of the world are qualified to handle properly. And it's very time-consuming. It requires expensive equipment, and so it is not an easy or cheap process. And I don't want to scare you, but at the same time, I want you to know that you really need to think about that before you let any more damage occur.
So hopefully nothing on that hard drive is actually really valuable to you because it will be a painful process.
It's mainly just music from iTunes that we can't even get to switch over from safe mode.
The good news about stuff you've downloaded from iTunes, you get rewarded finally for doing things the legal way when it comes to music downloads, because once you get things back up and fixed, and that even if that includes starting over on that same computer with a new drive and fresh load of operating system and things, you can log back into iTunes and re-download all your old content.
Right.
They keep track of what you've purchased and what you haven't, and so you getting all that stuff back is a little time consuming, but it's done without paying a lot of money. So,
okay, so all the songs that I purchased, it should be able to just transfer over.
As long as your account is still live with iTunes, I mean that's that.
Yeah, it's one of the beauties of buying online through legal sources is that they keep track of that stuff, and once you get your situation corrected, you'll be able to re-download those things if it comes to that. So. Your best bet at this point is then if there's nothing else that's really important on there, you're probably still going to need to get with somebody that can help you out. You're going to probably need a new hard drive, or at least to have diagnosed what the problem actually is.
Right.
And then get things sort of back up and happening. Okay, Scott?
Yeah, could it be anything also to do with like a failing power supply?
It could be lots of things. And that's the first step is let's determine exactly what it is and go from there. So we appreciate the call. Thanks, Scott. We got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. When we come back, it's our Geek Speak of the Week, Head Whack of the Week, and, of course, more of your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. It's the War of the Browsers. You're probably just using the big E.
Like me.
There's a whole other world out there that maybe is ripe for you to explore. Maybe you want to check out the Fox, the Opera, or maybe the Jungle Safari. There are all kinds of options out there. We've got resources posted for you online, datadoctors.com/radio. You just scroll down and see those resources and interact with us there if you so choose in the feedback section. It's time now for a segment that we do each and every week called our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, we come to you with a little vernacular from the land of geekdom. Some words or acronyms or a phrase or two or whatever the case might be. It's something to help you combat the jerks, geeks, and nerds of the world who try to talk down to you, try to impress you with their mad skills. And that's with a Z.
Mad skills.
Yeah, and we're going to arm you with some information so you can speak back to them, at them, and for them. And impress them back with your skills and your understanding of their speak. And hopefully knock them down off their high horse.
This one's really cool.
Go ahead. This week's Geek
Speak. This drum week's roll. Geek Speak of the Week is Internet Hobo.
Internet Hobo?
Yes.
Internet Hobo.
You got any guesses?
I do this to myself each week. I purposely don't look at it ahead of time, even though I could. so that I can play the game in my mind, Internet Hobo.
I get to play
Stump. So let me
Brandon.
Just think about a regular hobo guy. That's the guy from the cartoons with the stick and,
right,
and the bandana with stuff
mm-hmm.
inside.
Yep.
I never understood what that was for, by the way.
The stick and bandana is carrying his worldly possessions.
Yeah, but why not a bag? Why not a...
Because he can't afford one.
Steal one. Get one from the recycling bin.
That's a great thing to be an advocate
well,
for.
Well, what about the bag lady who has a shopping cart she stole?
He's got a little bit of morals. He may be homeless, but you know what? He's got some morals.
All right. So he's
wow. Good. You're horrible.
But still, you can't tell me you couldn't find a bag for free somewhere. People throw them away all the time.
Okay.
A duffel bag. I don't know. Even a plastic bag. A little a
we
lunch
didn't
sack.
We plastic back when those commercials right. or those cartoons were
so
really out.
The stick
so.
And the bandana with the stuff bundled inside.
Yeah.
And he's a kind of a dude that's a drifter. Maybe he's out cruising the country, seeing the sights. So an internet hobo would be somebody who just surfs around aimlessly with no actual purpose. Maybe? Am I close?
Kinda. So if you think about what the internet hobos or the hobos really did, they were, you know, they'd get on trains, right? Ride for free.
Right.
Then you're getting
ride.
There you go. So a resident that uses a neighbor's or hotel's Wi-Fi internet connection because they don't have one of their own.
I was recently an internet hobo, just so you know.
You know, yeah.
I was in New York a few weeks ago with my wife,
mm-hmm.
and the hotel we were staying at, they had free Wi-Fi.
Right.
Except for it didn't work up where we were at, up on the, I don't know, 18th nice. Floor or 20th floor, whatever we were at. For whatever reason, it wasn't working,
mm-hmm.
but I just opened up my view available wireless networks, and
yep.
there were like 100 of them, and half of them were, you know, not secured, and
yep.
I don't know whose I was on, but I thanked them
yeah, it was
for giving
awesome,
me a free
right?
ride.
You know, it's still amazing that about 48% is the last percentage that I heard of folks using wireless have still not figured out how to secure it. Or that's even important.
You know, they probably, A, don't know that it's important. And, B, even if they did, why does that matter? You know?
Well, you know.
Internet hobo. I like that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I am one sometimes. Yeah. Everybody's, I think, been one at some point. Yes?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm not going to go there. I know people that shared internet connection between homes for years.
I kind of looked at it as, you know, the place I was staying was supposed to have free access. What's to say that this wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, other than the fact that the one I was supposed to be on was clearly identified as something, but it just wouldn't work. So I just, you know.
Well, the scariest thing is about somebody doing this, to me, is the potential for them to get into the really nasty child pictures, you know what I'm saying? And now the police and they have every right to go after these folks, but they're using your IP, so when they trace it back to somebody...
Well, they also have the potential, if yours is open, there's some potential for somebody to get access to your machines.
Yeah.
They're on the same network. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why it's good to secure
things.
But
that's the one that just... Man,
yeah.
Ugh. Anyway.
How much would you hate to be being investigated for something that
you didn't do.
You didn't do, but somebody used your internet connection, and it's something...
To say that I'd want to help find the person that did that would be an understatement, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
We're both
right.
fathers.
Well, that's a good Geek Speak of the Week, and we have actually, I think, what is a good tip of the week. We don't usually talk about that a whole lot. You have to subscribe to the newsletter to get it. But this one is something that's easy and practical for just about anybody, especially this time of year. In the summer, travel goes way up, and we're all trying to get places and do things.
Especially this year.
There's a cool little trick where you can use Google and just the regular Google search engine to track the status of a flight. So you're sitting at the airport or you're thinking about going down to the airport to pick someone up and you're supposed to be there at 2:15. And before you run down, you want a quick way. You just put in, for example, somebody's Brian. I'm going to pick him up at the airport. He's supposed to be in and it's Southwest flight number 251.
Okay.
I just go type in Southwest space flight space 251 and hit the search button. And it will tell me the first result will come back with the flight status.
On time, delayed, canceled.
Or here's the new time, or whatever the case is.
Right.
It's a quick little, cool little tip of the week.
Yeah.
Right? Helps you
most
in
certainly.
A practical way. You can actually also do it from your cell phone. You can do through the SMS. I think you text to whatever.
Well, you can actually just type in G-O-O-G-L-E, and it will go to them.
So that's the number you text to.
Yeah.
And then you just do the same thing. Type in Southwest Flight 251, and it'll text you back the info you want.
And all kinds of other questions you can actually ask Google from your phone.
It's cool stuff.
It's ridiculous.
Back to the phones.
Please.
Let's, where was I at? I lost track. I think I'm with the other Scott.
Ah,
the other Scott, welcome to the computer corner.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a small business with two desktop computers, and my internet service provider is Sprint. There's a dish on the roof for the wire coming in, and due to, I guess they say, FCC mandates, they are discontinuing service.
Well, so let me give you some revisionist history on that. What you have is something that very few people have anymore called Sprint Broadband.
Yep.
Years ago, there was a company that came to town when the high-speed internet craze was just getting rolling, and most of us couldn't get, at the time, the cable Cox stuff. We couldn't get DSL. We didn't have many choices because they were early in the deployment of getting infrastructure set up. And this company called People's Choice Television, and they had a little internet division called Speed Choice, came to town and set up a tower up on South Mountain where if you had line of sight of South Mountain, you could get high-speed internet through this little microwave sort of dish thing. And it wasn't even a dish. It's like a square little thing that would go up on your roof. Well,
yeah. I only have so many options available.
Right.
And they are also trying to sell me an air card.
Yeah, nah. So the Sprint came and bought this company up and then subsequently decided this was a really bad idea and discontinued the service. They started rolling it out in a bunch of markets and then put the brakes on everything, stopped, and their cost to put the thing together and then to recoup that was just so high that they didn't figure they'd ever get their money back out of it. So
well, my question to you is, I can save 40% a year on my internet service if I go with AirCard.
You're going to be unhappy with your internet service if you go to AirCard. I will tell you that you will want to go back to dial-up. It's almost that bad.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So what part of the value are you in?
Country Club and 60.
Oops. Oh, you should. So you've checked with Cox and Quest, and they don't have options for you? Okay, so then you have other options that are what we would call fixed wireless options.
Yeah,
so other than Sprint, there's a company called Spark Plug. I think they're a little bit more on the business side. There's another company called
expensive.
There's another company called Widebeam, spelled WYDE.
Mm-hmm. Beam. And then Transcend.
I mean, there's a lot. There's Kite Networks. There's, I think, Integra. There's Renaissance Networks. I mean, there's so many different companies out there that do fixed wireless.
There's Blue Wire. They charge me about $100 a month.
Oh, Wild Blue, you mean?
No, it's Blue Wire, I believe.
Okay. Well, there's one called Wild Blue, but that's a satellite internet. I would opt with one of the other choices first. It's more expensive. Yeah. The equipment costs are high, and it's not as fast. But there are a number of choices out there in East Valley.
Country Club and 60 that you can't get something other than.
Are you in a house, an apartment, a condo?
No, it's all business zoned around there.
Oh, so you can get Cox Business Services, correct?
Nope.
Really?
They do not supply it there. Quest has, I think, their speed, and boy, I'm tired of dealing with them, but their speed is like 210 or 212 or something like
that. It'll be 256.
That's pretty standard.
For what you've got right now, it's going to be hard to find someone else that's going to have that kind of speed at that kind of money. I mean, that's why Sprint is stopped doing what they're doing, is they can't cost effectively deliver the service to you.
Right.
I can get 512K for about $100 a month from a couple companies.
Now, there are companies out there in the East Valley I know that do fixed wireless that are less than that with higher speeds. I would hunt around a little bit. I would look at Widebeam. They're a local company. Again, spelled Widebeam. And I think at widebeam.com.
What is the difference between fixed wireless and an air card?
Well, air card is cell phone, basically. It is. I mean, if you've got nothing else, it's fine. I would look at almost any option before it. I would even probably consider doing dial-up over it. I mean, it
depends on which air card it is, too, though. I mean,
they said it's a Compass 597 card.
It's Sprint network is not good for data. I mean, I'm just
If you're going to do that, you want to go with the Verizon air card or even a Singular air card. They're much faster. A 3G network or the Verizon are the only two that are going to even come close.
It's still not going to be as fast as any of those fixed wireless services out there, and you're going to spend as much money. So, me, if it was me, I would look at other options, but that's up to you to decide.
What exactly is a fixed wireless? Is it another dish on my roof?
It's what you have now, but with a different provider that is going to be in business tomorrow.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Anytime.
I will make a few phone calls.
All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I have nothing. I have one of those air cards.
No, I know you do.
It's great when you're traveling around.
Right.
But for my business that it was going to be on, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
It is slower, but obviously you don't want Sprint.
I don't know that I would. If you have other options, I would look at other options first.
Right.
That's just the safe way to go.
All right.
Let's get another check of traffic and weather. And I don't know if we, I think maybe he didn't like the Bubba Gary. So we'll stick with just Bruce Gary in the KTR Traffic Center. He's going to tell you what the latest is on the roadways. Bruce. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, tell them where to go, Brian.
That'd be datadoctors.com/radio.
We'll have the audio archives posted up there next week for those of you who missed any parts of it. You can also go back in time, check out previous shows, and, of course, see all the resources, all the links, all the information when it comes to browsers and choices that you have out there in the world. So check those things out, datadoctors.com/radio. Let's see if we can bat some cleanup here on the phones and help as many people out before we have to adios ourselves. Up next, it's Jim on the Computer Corner. Jim, how can we help?
Hey, I have a problem with my Internet Explorer and my banking website. It seems that I get to the first page, put in my username and password, and then I click, and it gives me a error 400, HTTP 400, saying that it can't find the particular website. I'm connected to the Internet, of course. I'm using Internet Explorer 7.
So there's a couple of things. First, I'm assuming you're going to the banking site by typing it into the address bar versus you didn't get something in your email that tells you to go to what probably...
That's correct.
Okay.
No, absolutely.
Okay, so that's step one. Step two, do you have another browser installed on your machine like Firefox or Opera or any of these other things?
I have Firefox, and Firefox does the same thing.
Okay, so if Firefox and Internet Explorer are both doing the same things, and you're able to browse sites elsewhere, then the next step would be, well, you've narrowed it down already. There's got to be a problem on their end.
Yeah.
And most likely, I mean, there are still a couple of possibilities where something obscure, some kind of overly aggressive firewall, something like that's blocking things, but my guess would be, and where I would start putting my... my research would be on the bank side. I would actually give them a call if it's one of the huge major national mega banks.
Yeah.
Then it may be a little bit tougher to get through to a live person, but I would certainly give that a shot. I would also just do a quick look on their site to see if they have like a status or a security area.
Right.
Oftentimes in those areas, they'll tell you if there's a status area, if they're having problems, what those problems are.
Right.
And if there's a security area, they'll tell you specific things that you'll want to do and make sure you have in place to be able to properly access their site.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done all that. It's some kind of problem, I guess. I don't know, with Internet Explorer or something. I don't know.
Have you tried this on a machine, on another machine, and do things work there?
Yep.
So everything works fine. So there's something wrong then in your computer. I would start checking for viruses, spyware, make sure your machine's completely up to date with Windows updates and patches.
Yep.
Those kinds of things. And then it's going to get fairly obscure beyond that, and you're going to have to probably get somebody to help you dig into sort of what's happening. If you have a firewall, something other than your router, an actual software firewall installed, you might want to just temporarily disable that.
Yeah.
And see if you don't get different results. If so, then there might be something in there that's blocking things for you.
Yeah, especially if you're using an internet security suite of some kind. Then
I'm using Norton Protection or Norton, whatever it is.
360?
I disabled that, and it still causes the same problem.
So the Norton and suites are one of our least favorite from the consumer standpoint. They get overly aggressive with things, and we sometimes see these kinds of problems.
And they're impossible to narrow down, especially with those. It gets very difficult.
If I uninstall the Norton, then maybe, and then reinstall it?
I hate to even suggest you go down that path, because when we start to see problems with these products, oftentimes trying to remove them doesn't go well, and problems get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, there actually are specific tools that Symantec has made called removal tools, because the uninstalls a lot of times don't work.
Okay.
So I'm even hesitant to suggest you go down that path. What I'm going to say is that somebody that knows more about this stuff than you. It might be a friend. It might be somebody you have to hire. Whatever it is, you probably need to get in front of this thing to take a look at what's exactly going on and to be able to kind of troubleshoot things a little further.
All right.
Okay. Or you might try giving the bank a call, and they may have some common things to try that might help uncover.
They didn't have any suggestions.
Okay.
It was unfortunate, but yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Jim, and sorry we couldn't be of more help. That's kind of one of those obscure things. And
It sure is. I just couldn't believe that it started happening a couple days ago.
Hey, well, we appreciate the call. Thanks for that, Jim. Anybody who missed the show, any parts of it, datadoctors.com/radio. Until next time, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. See you next week.